Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, 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 good evening, everyone, and welcome to Race Time Radio. I am Joe Chisholm, and we're going to be with you hopefully here for 2 hours tonight, live on Sirius XM Channel 167. Oh, I hope you're having a good long weekend. I'll tell you what, there is more racing going on this weekend. It's just incredible, to say the least. We got a great show kind of lined up for you. And I say kind of because there's so much going on and things are happening right now as the show fires off. And we're going to try and get as many winner guests on here as we can tonight. Going to take a lot of your phone calls tonight. At least we hope to. Flying solo in the studio here tonight. So it's just you and I. And I don't know, as many close friends as we've got out there that's going to be part of this show tonight. Junior is at Eastbound International Speedway. Of course, DJ Kennington, Canada's most well-known racer, was out at Eastbound International Speedway this weekend. He raced today, actually, twin 50s for the sportsman cars. And Phil Fowler and all those guys at Eastbound put a great car underneath DJ Kennington. He went out on the racetrack. He won his first race. He won the first 50. And then, of course, they go back into the pits, reset, run a couple of other features, and then sportsmen come out and finish the day off. DJ Kennington comes home second in that last 50-lap race. It was Josh Collins going to victory lane and topped DJ Kennington for that last win. But we're going to hear all about it tonight. We're going to hear from DJ Kennington live on the show just in a few moments. We're also keeping our eye firmly planted on what's happening at Speedway 660. Of course, historical race tonight. The tradition continues at Speedway 660. The big 250 is going on as we speak. 81 laps in the books. We got lots to talk about that. Pit Row TV, I'll tell you what, those guys have knocked it out of the park this weekend. I am definitely a customer of Pit Row TV. They've done an incredible job with the broadcast all weekend long from Speedway 660 in New Brunswick. We got a ton to talk about there. And, of course, how about the Canadian Short Track Nationals taking place at Yukasa Speedway? That, I believe, is just getting under the green flag. Right around now, scheduled for 9 p.m. Eastern to go green. That is available on speed51.com. If you want to leave the radio show on and maybe click on that, watch the big race that is happening at Yukasa. A ton of news to talk about with that particular event. The APC race went yesterday. Got to congratulate Brandon Watson. He went and won that race. J.R. Fitzpatrick almost, and I mean almost, claim victory at Yukasa in that race. He is the point leader in the APC series. Caution came out, five to go. JR and the nine side by side. JR had him for about three or four of those final five laps, but the nine was not going to be denied. He had a rocket fast car all day long, and Brandon Watson cruised to victory lane at Yukasa in that APC race. But we have got a ton to cover, as mentioned. But we're going to get to the hotline, and we're going to bring in our first guest, and that is DJ Kennington. He is out at Eastbound International Speedway on the other end of the country. And by all accounts, sounds like he had a great day. Let's welcome him in, the Castrol Edge Dodge guy. DJ, what's going on?
Joe, how you doing, big man?
I'll tell you what, this has been a weekend. I can never remember a weekend like this, bud.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, all the racing going on around. And wishing all the guys good luck and hoping they're having a good time tonight at Jocassa. It's going to be one hell of a show, I'm sure. So hopefully all my friends and buddies are going to have good days, and somebody's going to come out of there with a big payday.
Yeah, no kidding. And big announcements too, DJ. They're looking down the road here. Alex Nagy has got things geared up, and man, I guess they got to get the first one done and in the history books, but there's big plans for the Canadian Short Track Nationals at Jocassa. And some of those announcements, we're talking $1 million purse coming up in 2 or 3 years' time. But we got lots to discuss with that baby in the future, I can guarantee it.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool deal. Hopefully everything goes well tonight and they can make it a better program, and hopefully it gets better with each year. And man, oh man, that's a lot of money. You're going to get a lot of big time racers coming to that one. And I'll tell you what, that'll be a tough one to win, that's for sure.
Won't it? That's crazy. Good time to be a Canadian race fan. It's got to be a great time to be, you know, in behind one of the wheels of these race cars. Finally, DJ, how about it? In Canada, things are turning around.
Hey, it's great to see. I mean, the Lake Auto program's really good. The Penny Series has been getting good car counts. Yeah, you're right, Joe. Things are really looking up. I'll tell you what, I got the opportunity to race at a real gem of a racetrack today. Had a lot of fun. Eastbound Speedway, it's a cool little racetrack, man. It's tough. It's one of the tougher ones I've been on, but had a great car, had a great time, great people. I know they miss you out here, bud. I talked to a lot of people today that say a lot of high things about you and what you've done with this speedway. And I'll tell you what, one of the nicest places I've been to in a long time.
Gotta love it. Eastbound International Speedway. I can tell you, I was going crazy sitting here knowing that you guys were out there doing the deal. But you know what? I followed along as best as I could. And DJ, sounds like you had a good car. You guys had to work on it when you got there. But man, just like a true champion, you turn the bolts, you got her going, and out onto a racetrack that you've never been on. What was that like?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, like I say, the guys gave me a great car, and, you know, we did have to make a bunch of changes on it, but we didn't have it perfect all day, but we managed to get the win in the first 50 and pretty much checked out with that one. And Joe Jr. obviously was spotting for me here, did a great job. We got through traffic pretty quick and missed a couple of the wrecks, and we had a good day. And then we got into the second one, and second 50 we were fired off pretty good too, and actually took the lead from Josh Collins. I would say around lap 23 or 24 we got him on a restart on the outside, and got ahead of him, and I went into turn three and hit the brakes pretty hard trying to slow the car up. I got in there pretty hard, and something went wrong in the brake pedal. It got real soft. And we had brake issues the rest of the way, and had no front brakes in the car, but we're able to still hang in there and finish second. So we had a first and a second, and like I say, I had a ton of fun, not a scratch on the car, and man, oh man, what a gem of a racetrack.
DJ, you have been in absolutely everything this year, right? You raced the Daytona 500. You've gone coast to coast with the NASCAR Pinty Series. You've been in late models. You've now been out to Eastbound International just today with a sportsman car. What's it like going from all these different types of rides and trying to get, get in there and really get seated and feel good and go out there and race? What's it like?
It's tough. I mean, the cup cars are a lot different than anything I've ever driven. And we had a real good day in the truck race with APC, Casserole, everybody that helped us get the truck race undergo. And, you know, finished 12th there. And then you say going to a late model this weekend at Eastbound. Really, it's basically a street stock with a late model body.
Yeah.
A whole different ball game to drive. The Hoosier 8-inch treaded tires were a lot different for us, too. And, I mean, it's a challenge, and that's what makes it fun. I've got a lot of laps in a lot of different cars, and I'm just very fortunate to get these opportunities. And obviously, Casserole's been behind me for 25 years, and everybody knows that. And because of them, I'm getting these opportunities, and obviously the opportunities of the Daytona 500 and running the cup races. We've got 7 cup starts already this year and 2 more to come. We're going to have 9 by the end of the year, and just a very fortunate, lucky guy. I'm telling you right now, I just love what I do. I love races, and it felt damn good to get a checkered flag today. I'll tell you that much.
I can well imagine you had your son Chase there. Seen some photos. He was out jumping around on the bouncy castle out behind the speedway. Did Chase have a good time on the rock?
I'm telling you what, I'm laying here right now, actually in a hotel room with my buddy. We went and had a good supper after, and I'll tell you what, your son was amazing with my son today, taking him around, playing with him. I got to tell you this, and you might not even believe me, Joe, but we were on the other side of the track getting ready to go on the bouncy castles, and I was in my fire suit. I didn't have my wallet. Well, Joe Jr. stepped up and paid for Chase to go in the bouncy castle and to play with the paintball gun.
Incredible. How did you do that?
I think it was because I might have bought him a beer the night before, so he felt that we were even.
Too funny, man. You had two kids to work with this weekend, the big one and the little one.
Absolutely. The Rock's great. Newfoundland's amazing. Very, very glad I came. Obviously wish we could have ran Jocassa and had some fun with those guys there, but I'd already committed to this program here. Mike and the guys at the Speedway were great. Pat and Phil, Phil, one of the racers here, he had a hard hit in the first 50, and but he's okay. He saw a few stars, he said, but he's doing all right. So just had a really good time, Joe. This place is amazing. You've done a great job out here. Like I say, everybody here at the Speedway speaks so highly of you and what you've done. And at the drivers' meeting, they talked about you, and the gentleman that took over for you said that you gave him the cheat sheets and what he should be saying. And I said right away, if Joe said that you said that, I'm not going to believe it.
Incredible. That's good to hear you had a good day. You did some winning, and that's always key. I know, you know, a lot of times we see the big stars come in to a local racetrack, and you know what? For the most part, those guys come in, it's a dog and pony show, sign some autographs, and they go out and they race and they pull off. DJ, I know you, I know J.R. Fitzpatrick, you guys come out to win the race. And that's the cool part. Fans always get their money's worth. When guys like you roll in, it's going to be a show. It sounds like it was another good day for that at Eastbound.
It was awesome. And then, like I say, J.R. ran the car the week before and won the first one and had troubles with it in the second one. So I'd already texted him right after the second one. I said, that's the first and a second, Fitzy. I guess I beat you again.
You did.
So I had a great time. We hung around quite a bit for probably a good hour and a half after the race, and just talked to all the racers and all the guys in the late model division there. They had a couple cold ones while I talked to them, and I really enjoyed myself. They're all great people, great fun. Congratulations, Josh Collins won the second one there. He was real fast. They had a great car, and I think if we didn't have any brake trouble, I might have had something for him, but I think we surprised him on that one restart and got him on the outside. And like I say, just had a ton of fun. And all good people, good racers. They're hard racers. I'll tell you that, Joe. They don't treat you very nice, even if you are the guest.
Yeah, they stay on it, right? That you know what? Those are your kind of people right there. They love doing what they do. And I'll tell you what, they're all good friends when the helmets are off. But when they put those brain buckets on, look out.
Yeah, they're good guys. I mean, I had so much fun with them. And like I say, they all had so much respect for me, and I did for them as well. And we had a good time. I mean, there's not a scratch on the car, which is awesome. And nobody likes to fix those cars. But I'll tell you what, hard racers, fun racers. They got a lot of great classes here. The Bandoleros put on a heck of a show. The kid that runs the, you'll know his name, that runs the number 23 Legends car.
Unbelievable.
That kid has got a ton of talent. I enjoyed watching him today, and a very nice young man came to talk to me. I think he's going to go places. I wish him all the best in his career. But they have a lot of great racers out here, and I'll tell you what, that racetrack is just basically a hidden gem.
It sure is. Patty Squires, the owner of that Speedway, built that big, beautiful facility with one thing in mind, DJ, and it stuck with me since I heard of it. Patty Squires wants to build a racetrack so he can give someone in Newfoundland an opportunity to go all the way to the top. And you know what? I believe Patty Squires is going to, his dream's going to come true one day. He's got everything. He's given these guys the tools, a racetrack that they can really go out and polish their craft at and learn what they need to learn to go to the next level. And it sounds like it was even a challenge for a guy like you. That's great.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there's both ends are so much different. There's so much banking in one and two, and it's very tight. And then you get into three and four, it's not near as tight. And then off of four, it flattens right out. I mean, I said to Joe, I said, you know what? I said, it reminds me a lot of turn one and two reminds me of Kawartha, and turn three and four remind me of St. Eustache.
Wow.
I mean, it's a great little racetrack. It keeps you on your toes. I had a heck of a time, a lot of fun, and really glad I got the opportunity to come out and meet these people.
Well, there's no slowdown in DJ Kennington. You had a great weekend. You got a W. You're going to be riding that wave of momentum, if you will. What's next for you? I know NASCAR Pindies is where you got everything focused in on. There is no slowdown for you, man. You're back at it next weekend, right?
Absolutely. Going to one of my favorite racetracks again, going to St. Eustache, Quebec, and going to try to get this Castrol Edge back in victory lane. I'll tell you what, it felt dang good today to get that checkered flag, and it's been a while. And I told Joe, even when we got the checkered, I keyed up the radio and told him, I said, well, there's the streak. It's over.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care if it's a late model, if it's go-karts or what it is. We've got a checkered flag, and hopefully we can go to St. Eustache, one of my most favorite racetracks, and if we can't get this Castrol Edge Dodge back in victory lane again.
You know what? I've seen you do this before, DJ. It starts with one, and you never know when to stop after you get started. I remember seven in a row just a few years ago. It'd be a good time to put one of those strings together right now.
Absolutely. Sitting third in the points, real happy about that. Obviously, Dumoulin's having an outstanding season. He's got three races to go. He's got a pretty good lock on things, but three races, a lot of racing, and there's a lot of good tracks coming up for us, and hopefully we can try to get this thing in victory lane and put a little pressure on them.
Well, you know Canada's behind you, whether you're here at home in the NASCAR Pindy Series or whether you head south of the border. You know we are all in that race car with you, DJ. You're a true champion, and I know I can't wait to catch up with you the next time and physically watch you behind the wheel of whatever car you get in. It's always a great time watching the 17 fly around, and man, oh man, it's going to be a great finish from here to the end of the year. We got a lot of good races still to come.
We sure do. I'm looking really forward to it, and I want you to know we're all with you too, pal. You know what I'm talking about. We're all behind you. We're all here for you, and I'm really looking forward to seeing you back at the racetrack real soon, buddy.
You want to believe it. Me too. We're going to do whatever we can to make sure that that all comes together. DJ, you, Chase, and Joe Jr., have a super time out there, and fly safe. We'll get you back home here, and can't wait to see where the season ends up for the 17 and all you guys do.
Thank you very much, sir, and we will get home tomorrow. I just got to make sure I find Joe. I'm not sure where he is right now, so hopefully he's, I told him he had to be at the car for 9:30 in the morning. That's the only rule I had, so hopefully he's back by then.
There's two numbers, right? 9:30 or 4,000 and a long swim. That's how many miles it is, and a swim, or 9:30. He's got to remember one of the two numbers, that's all.
That's right. You got her, pal.
He's out with Phil Fowler. Those guys are still whooping it up out there after a busy day and a good day at Eastbound. DJ, thanks so much for your time. I know it's late out there, brother. Appreciate you hanging around and taking us on. And I know everybody was real itching to hear from you tonight.
My pleasure, pal. And me and Chase are going to get some sleep, and we'll see you all real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. That's DJ Kennington, your winner at Eastbound International Speedway today. He won one of them. Josh Collins come in and snatch the other one away from the champ. Things are heating up. That NASCAR All-American Weekly Series at Eastbound, the points are real tight right now. Wayne Walsh in the 99, the 23 winging it machine of Josh Collins. And I know that sounds weird because everybody that knows Josh always thinks 56. He's been running the 23 for Glenn this year. Brandon is away doing, he's working up north, so he's not in the car all the time. So they put Josh Collins in the car. I'm telling you what, you want to see a great night of racing, and there's still one more big weekend at Eastbound. It comes up not next weekend, the weekend after, you want to make it to Eastbound and see how this story is going to end. I'll tell you what, you'll get your money's worth. Dynamite track, and we got a lot of competition still to come this year. So if you're out in Newfoundland, check out Eastbound International Speedway, Eastbound Park. But you know what? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're trying to get, and we're going to get, the winner of the Speedway 660 race. The 250 is going on as we speak. There is 44 laps left to go, and I can see the caution flag is out. So we got that to look forward to, and your calls. How about we do this? On the other side of the break, let's open the phone line up, and we'll take a call. If you're available, you want to talk about what's going on this weekend, give us a call. Here, I'll give you the number. It's 888-572-2384. I'll give it to you again. 888-572-2384. We'll take your calls on the other side of this break, and we will be back. Stay with us live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Hey, it's Robbie Gordon from Speed Energy and Stadium Super Trucks here in Canada, and you're listening to Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro. Join us live from Riverside International Speedway, Saturday, September the 8th at 5 p.m. Eastern, for the Lucas Oil 150. The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour take to the high banks at Riverside International Speedway.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
But you got to be there at the end.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com at 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, September 8th. For Lucas Oil 150 tickets and details, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man!
Come on!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25,
Classic Rewind
brings you the second generation. Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On Sirius XM.
Baseball. Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Let's get to the hotline. Let's bring in, what do we got? Kent on the East Coast. What's going on, bud? How you doing?
Not bad. Sounds like there's a little pep in your step with all this racing this weekend.
I'll tell you what, Kent. I haven't been this excited in a long time. I've been watching all weekend long. I've had to stay home. Doctor said, get some rest. You got to do that. We got the treatments all coming up, so I had to take the weekend off. couldn't go to Eastbound, couldn't go to Jukasa, hunkered in right here at home. And I've had Pit Row TV on all weekend long, watching the coverage from Speedway 660. And I'll tell you what, Kent, these guys, I have never sat down and really watched their broadcast. They knock it out of the park. 100%. That was just like being there. I don't know whether you got it this weekend, but I'll tell you what, it is over the top.
I was watching a lot of racing and listening, trying to find updates on lots of racing. Maybe if you're sitting back and counting in there, telling me, you could tell me what happened between Somerville and my team, Cassius. I guess they had a little run-in at the end of it there, took Cassius out of the race, so that's my cheering for there was done. We'll see who comes out on top, but...
Well, I was watching it, following along. I got to tell you, I seen the most bizarre thing I believe I've ever seen in a short track race. The field was coming around turn 3 and 4, of course, coming back on a restart, so everybody's doubled up. They're just getting ready to throttle up, and the green flag's going to come out, right? They're heading for the start-finish line, coming through 3-4. The 54 car... of Johnny Clark, I believe it's Clark in the car, was pit side, and he had gone pit side quite a few times. He was having difficulty with the car, but he'd duck into the pits, make some adjustments, come back out, and rejoin at the tail of the field and trying to stay on the lead lap. Well, I guess he went in, and on the way back out, these guys are coming to the green flag. I don't know whether it was a stop-and-go sign problem, whether he wasn't told to stop. I don't know what the situation was there, but Johnny came out onto that racetrack, full tilt, getting ready to rejoin the field at the back. Only problem was he was right at the front of the field and ran into the outside pole sitter, and it was the 91 of Dylan Gosby. I'll tell you what, I haven't seen a wreck like that in a long time. Thank God everybody's okay. But I'll tell you, there is a pile of tore-up race cars on that one incident, and it was a tough, tough deal.
Yeah, it sounds like there was lots of cautions. I was getting updates from Judy, and then at the end of it, the 147 or whatever it was, I guess Cassius got touched by Somerville and got into it a little bit and too hard. And whatever happened afterwards, that was it. They were out of the race. So,
well, now
I'll deal there. But lots of exciting news with races going on. Wasn't Pinty supposed to be at Loudon this week? Is it this weekend or
no? It's not actually. It's not Saint Eustache. Just heard from DJ there. You probably heard him. They're going to go to Saint Eustache next. I believe Loudon is the weekend after that.
Okay. No, I just thought it was this weekend because I think you're going to have to see a lot of track promoters adjust their schedule for this weekend with the news that was announced this afternoon.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is huge news. I'm a firm believer in you got to get the first one in before you go too far down the road. But you know what is really cool, Kent? There is planning being involved with down the road. You can't shoot that down, man. Yeah. The guys are doing a great job. They're talking huge numbers.
But they're not just talking next year. Like, all right, yes, it'd be great to see if it gets to the million by 2021. But you take next year, a purse of $300,000.
Yeah, that unprecedented. It really is.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be great for racing, and you're going to see a lot more big names. Like DJ was saying, you're going to see names that aren't racing cup and stuff. They'll be who can afford to get in on that and possibly have a chance at 300, right?
Yeah, no kidding. And you know what? I got to say, I am kind of surprised, a little bit surprised here, that we didn't see more big names from the U.S. roll in with 50,000 to win. That's huge.
Well, I was watching tonight, and I'm watching it here now from Darlington, and you wouldn't believe the way that they honored the past guys that are still race worthy, but that are out of the actual Cup Series. They had seven guys plus seven extra guys in pace lap cars driving the seven generations of Camaros to start the race.
Cool.
And they done a big story on it, and they were saying about how all the former guys, like they marked that Darlington weekend as one of the races, even if they don't go to the races no more, that's one of the races they get out to. So
yeah,
I guess that's a good thing too.
It sure is. Earlier today, I happened to notice a tweet. It was Ernie Irvin's son, Jarrett, with a picture of Ernie Irvin and his son. And they were going to be signing autographs earlier today, and of course at the big race. Kind of cool to see. I haven't seen Ernie's son since Flamborough Speedway, when Ernie actually came up here and got into a car, and it was the beginning stages, I believe, of the Gold Rush, the very first ever Gold Rush at Flamborough. Had some Cup guys come in. We had Kenny Schrader was there, Jimmy Spencer. And I know Sterling Marlin was supposed to be there. Something happened, and he couldn't. Ernie Irvin came in and filled in.
With his car, they were racing earlier in the week, and I guess it just got tore up. I seen a tweet of him, and they were talking, and somebody said, "Oh, well, that's a few hours in the shop," and they started naming this and this and this and this and this, everything that had to be replaced in the car, and that was the car that they were planning on to come to. As far as I can understand. So
yeah.
But anyways, Larson's leading the big one there tonight. If you're not able to have that TV on as well, so he's got about 100 laps left in Darlington. He might get a win tonight.
Did you happen to catch the Xfinity race yesterday?
Yes, I did. With Ross Chastain.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. What can call it, 42 car, he had a heck of a race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was, like I say, it was a pretty big weekend for racing. And the Canadian season is going to be winding up here within the next month, but you still got a few weeks left to go, and then we'll be watching, everybody will be watching the NASCAR to wrap up. But it, where did the summer go, Joe?
Yeah, no kidding, Ken. Right, gone, right? We got the Lucas Oil 150 coming up next weekend at Riverside.
Weekend, yeah.
Are you coming to the show? Are you going to be there or what?
I should be. Our exhibition starts Wednesday, so we have Tough Truck and lawnmower racing and everything, but Saturday night is the truck pull, and I don't do anything with it anymore, so we probably get that last six of the racing in for the season, so.
Yeah, last chance right at Riverside. It's the season finale.
We're here for the Dartmouth Dogs when the boys get down to do the season finale, but we don't usually make the trip down to Halifax, but who knows? You never know.
Yeah, that's right. Now, we got you covered for both, right? The Lucas Oil 150, we're going to have that live. Just in case you're in Pictou County and you can't make it to the race, you're going to be able to tune in live. You'll find out what's going on.
Yeah, I think, like I say, you got to get that last fix for the season, so.
Yeah, it's going to be dynamite. I know you took in the Pindies race, right? How did you enjoy that this year?
That was, I wanted to call in last week or the week after when you're on. That it was the best Pindies race that I've seen that since I've started coming. I've only missed one. The cars were just like, if Donald Chisholm wouldn't have had that off the bat, Mr. Man, they would have been watching him coming through the field, because even though he had that axle issue come out for that little bit afterwards, he was just hammering back up through the field trying to stay on that position for the lucky dog. So,
pretty amazing stuff. Donald did talk about that, and we'll hear from Donald. I did get an interview with him just about an hour ago. I wanted to get him before things fired up. He's at Jukasa Speedway. And you'll have to listen to that one. It's a good interview, and we'll be spinning that one here shortly.
I commend and thank you to the Pinty Series and all the guys that traveled out. We had 18 cars, which I think it's either matches or it is the biggest field that we've ever had travel to actually race. We might have had the one or two more that sometimes they come out and they were a start and park.
Yep.
But like I say, that that race all day Sunday. It would have been interesting to see if it would have got in Saturday night, what the difference would have been. But it was an excellent race, and like I say, you got to thank the teams for traveling out. And I just wish if we could have a race like that with 18 cars, just imagine if we had 23 to 25 cars. It would be off the charts.
Right off the hook. And that's good to hear, Kent. You're one of those guys that's at the racetrack and you watch these races. That's kind of cool when you hear that kind of response. The Pinty Series will be glad to hear that.
Yep. No, it was great.
Good stuff.
You keep doing what you're doing, and we'll be talking and we'll be listening.
You want to believe it. Kent, thanks so much for your call. Do appreciate it, bud.
Yeah.
You bet. That's Kent out on the east coast of Canada. He calls in all the time. We got to love it. He's a super fan out there listening to Racetime Radio all the time. And we do have an open phone line. So if you want to jump on, give us a shout, 888-572-2384. Right here tonight, live on Sirius XM Channel 167. You may listen to Racetime Radio as well on Wednesday night on XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Low to you. Or how about the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com or maybe Gearhead Country Radio. All those different ways to tune into Racetime Radio. And we sure do appreciate everybody tuning in. You will be able to listen next week on Saturday night, starting around 5 p.m. Eastern. You're going to be able to listen to that. Lucas Oil 150, live flag-to-flag coverage. And that's really going to be a barn burner of a race, as we just discussed. It's the season finale for Riverside International Speedway. The sportsmen are going to be in there. It's going to be a super, super day. And sure hope you can join us for that. But we're going to step out, take one more quick break. We'll check the phone lines and or we'll have Donald Chisholm on the hotline. And we'll do that next, right after this break. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Join us live from Riverside International Speedway, Saturday, September the 8th at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Lucas Oil 150. The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour take to the high banks at Riverside International Speedway.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
But you got to be there at the end.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com at 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, September 8th. For Lucas Oil 150 tickets and details, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, Joe, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, insuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius.
SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Morning, dickhead.
Hello, moron.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Oh, those grumpy-year-old men slide in there. What a weekend. I hope you're enjoying Labor Day weekend here in Canada or the U.S. So much good racing taking place. Of course, the Canadian Short Track Nationals taking place at Jukasa Speedway as we speak. Right now, we got a little bit of an update for you here. Let's Billy Schwarzenberg. See him run the APC series all the time. He was the winner of the Last Chance Qualifier. 40 Prole models going to take the green flag tonight for $50,000 to win. I believe second place is like $20,000. The race pays amazing all the way down through. I can't tell you how excited absolutely everybody is for this race. And it'll be trackside now. We'll get you as much info as we can throughout the course. I can tell you at Speedway 660 right now, there is 11 laps to go in the 250 that is happening there right now. By the look of it, it looks like the number one is out front. But I could be wrong. I'm just trying to check the monitor. Oh, it's Mesker up front, followed by Steve Halpin. He is back in second, and the 23 of Lonnie Somerville is in third spot. So that one isn't over by any stretch. We will have the winner. We got Brad Mann at the Speedway, and Brad Mann is going to gear us up with the winner a little bit later. They got to finish it up, and then they're going to come on the program. Got to say congratulations to Andy Kamrath, a driver of the 89C. He won the Superstock feature at Jukasa today. Andy running for London Recreational in that beautiful number 89 car. Chris Lawrence finishes up the race second. And in third, Gary Adrianson. I think that's how you pronounce Gary's last name. But congratulations to those three. Carson on the pole for the 200 lap tonight, in second spot or starting second after qualifying, the 9 of Brendan Watson, who won the race last night at Jukasa in the APC series. And then in third spot, how about that, the 71 of Johnny Van Dorn. That is going to be a wild, wild race. And again, you can watch that on speed51.com. If you want to watch that race, it's not too late. Get in there, sign up, do what you got to do, and check that race out. I got to tell you, this is something that I believe the next level of that race or of any of our short track big races here in Canada, I can't wait till the day we can do them live on the radio and live pay-per-view or live on television, whatever the case may be. You know, there's something to be said for live radio and live television. I got to tell you, I've totally enjoyed watching Pit Row TV all weekend. I watched the coverage from 660, and it's just been amazing. I got it on right now as we do the show. But there isn't everybody that, A, can afford to buy the live pay-per-view. It's not a lot of money, but is still, you know, these days, it's tougher and tougher to get that money to make it stretch and make it go through to the next week. So, you know, we're leaving some race fans behind. And, you know, with live radio, it allows you to do a couple of things. You can still listen to find out what is going on. It keeps you up to date. You can also drive down the road just like you're doing right now and be able to get the information as a race fan that you want to know. So, there could be a lot said to do these big races live on pay-per-view or on television, whichever the way. But I would suggest we do them live on the radio as well so that we attract and service absolutely every race fan possible. And, of course, all the ones that can be at the racetrack. Those fans that are at the racetrack have paid great money to go see that race. And I know that is the object of the game, to get everybody to come to the race. But the harsh reality is there's going to be a lot more people that couldn't make the race than are even at the race. So it would be kind of cool in the future if we could put both together and really do a bang-up job for Canadian race fans. But that's my thoughts in behind that one. As I say that, let's have a look at who has won now at Speedway 660. I'm seeing a thumbs up. The number one of Metzger wins the race. Messer is the name that's in victory lane at Speedway 660. And I can guarantee you that we're going to hear from that driver here tonight on Racetime Radio in just a wee bit. But I do want to spin now for you an interview I got with Donald Chisholm just about an hour and 10 minutes ago before things got underway at UCASA and before we got live on the air. I got a quick word with Donald Chisholm. Here's what we had to say. Here's Donald. What's going on, buddy?
I'm good, Joe. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Fantastic. Man, what a weekend. This weekend, we got so much happening. I know you're at UCASA. How are things looking there?
That's good. It's lots of good cars, and they just finished up qualifying, so it should be a good show tonight, and just wanted to flip up and watch it, and both from a driver's point of view and to see if there's anything we can learn for our events next year.
Incredible. You got itchy feet? Do you wish you were behind the wheel tonight or what?
Yeah, it's always tough when you roll into a racetrack without your car, but it just wasn't going to fit this year, so we just made a quick trip up last night and home tomorrow. So, yeah, we'll get home tomorrow and start getting ready for next weekend's Lucas Oil 150.
Yeah, it's going to be a big show, man. It's going to be the season finale for Riverside International Speedway. Not a bad season, Donald. What do you think of the season as a whole?
You know, it's been a good season. The 250 was another, you know, successful event. And I think, you know, it's just been growing every year. And, you know, Kenny Wallace was in the driver car of ours. So, and he did a great job, you know, with the fans, and just went out of his way to, you know, take some time and talk to everybody. So it was good. But, you know, we got to do better on the weather next year. We needed one Saturday in July and one in August. And both the 250 was you know, rain shortened and had to finish Sunday, and also the Pinty's race rained out completely. So that was a Sunday show. So hopefully we'll have a little better luck in the weather department next year.
Yeah, just before we start talking 150 here, I got to touch on that Pinty's race. Seen it on TSN. Man, it looked like you had a real fast car, but you did have some gremlins that snuck up and grabbed you in that race. But, man, you guys had a real fast car by the look of it when you were on track.
Yeah, that was a tough one, to be honest with you. We, you know, we were the quickest car in practice. Qualifying was rained out, so we started by points, but that was okay. So we ended up at last, but I knew the car was good, and we had one of the better cars we've had there maybe in the last couple of years, but had some issues with the right side axle in the car, and we actually lost that, you know, on the third lap, I believe. So unfortunately it took us, you know, four laps to repair it. So the guys did a great job in that regard, but just kind of been the story of our year, just sort of one stupid thing after another. So really looking forward to having a good run to end the year next weekend in the 150, and we need to get our luck turned around. So hopefully this is it.
Well, you know what? You guys work hard enough. The luck's got to be there. I know you've got everything prepared to the nines and ready to go. The 150, Donald, you have been extra specially good in those 150s. Everything seems to work real good at that distance. And, you know, Lucas Oil 150 coming up next weekend. How are the preparations coming? You got the car all set. Is it just a matter of waiting for the time to roll around, or have you guys got much more to do on the 89?
No, we're pretty well ready. We're, you know, I guess as racers, you're never completely ready. It's just time to, at some point, go race. So, yeah, no, we're pretty good shape. And like I say, hopefully the weather's going to cooperate for us. I guess this we've won the last three of these in 3 years in a row, which I didn't even realize until somebody mentioned it to me the other day. So it would be a great way to cap off a tough year. I think we've only finished one race this year for a whole bunch of different reasons. We haven't run a whole pile, but, we've been reasonably quick every race we've run, but just don't have the finishes to show for it.
So many young competitors in the Pro Stock Tour, and we're seeing it more and more, Donald, where these guys are not just in the field. Man, they're tough to beat. They're getting up front, and they're running real hard. Is it just me, or is it everybody sort of noticing that, the Pro Stock Tour is a tough deal, and you got your work cut out for you, even on a home track, one that you've done a lot of winning on?
Yeah, no, it's tough to win in that series. You know, it's a competitive series and a lot of cars that obviously in any given night can win. So, I think the championship is all but locked up. You know, I think Cole has pretty significant lead there. So I know he's always anxious to run up front there, as we all are. So just a tough spot to win when you've got 8 or 10 cars on any given night that can win the race. It's tough.
I know George Scott Skulik plays a key role on your team, setting things up and getting things ready to go. But we also see George behind the wheel of the number 88. Will we see him next weekend in the Lucas Oil 150 behind the wheel or on top of the box?
I think you're going to see George on top of the box, but you may see a bit of a different driver of the 88 next weekend. George is in his shoulders and risk a kind of beat up this summer and a couple of wrecks at the racetrack. So he's not 100% yet. So John Fleming's actually going to try drive his car next weekend. And George just put a bunch of new front end pieces on his car, and we just really haven't had a chance to test it. So I guess Fleming's going to give it a whirl next weekend and see how it works. And George will be crew chief and me. So George will be there for sure. He just won't be behind the wheel.
Wow. Imagine that. Well, five-time and you teamed up on the same sort of team. The amount of information flowing is going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, so, John's a great runner, and, I think he's had a bit of a tough year, so I think he's looking forward to getting in a different car, and whether or not it's any better than his own, we'll see. But I know George has been anxious to see how this front end package works. So I think John will do a great job, and he'll give it a fair shake and tell us what we got at the end of the night.
Well, it's going to be something else. I can guarantee that. Fans are going to love to get out to Riverside one last time for 2018 and take in the Lucas Oil 150. Big weekend, Donald.
Yeah, can't wait to get back at it. And like I say, we really need to change our luck around. So hopefully this does it.
Wow, I can well imagine you're going to be the man to beat. Donald, good luck in the race. I know we're going to have live coverage of it. And have a lot of fun there tonight at Jukasa. I know things are probably well underway as this airs. But who's got the pole? Can you tell us?
Carson Hocevar, the younger guy, I believe, out of maybe Michigan, I believe. So he put down a pretty blistering lap in qualifying. So I just see and hear the one of the Concies or last chance races lining up on the field. But there's Kent Vincent's here from home, so it's good to see him. He qualified, I think, about mid pack, and my old buddy Hathaway is doing pretty well. I think he qualified fifth. So I'll go pick on him a little bit after this interview and see if we can get him up on the wheel tonight.
Elbows up, man. He was the cat to beat there last year, winning both the APC race and the big one. Going to be an interesting race. I know it's going to be dynamite. Donald, you have a good time there. Say hi to everybody for us, and we'll catch you next weekend out at Riverside International Speedway. Sound good?
Yeah, for sure. Will do, and thanks a million for having me on again, and see you next week.
Man, is it going to be a dynamite race at Riverside International Speedway next Saturday night under the lights on that big, beautiful High Bank Speedway. We're in for a huge finale. We'll try and get you coverage as well of the sportsman race. Those last couple of sportsman races that have happened at Riverside have just truly been amazing. So when we're there, we're going to try and get you as much coverage as possible on racetimeradio.com. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you follow us along. And we're all in for a real good night, I can guarantee you. Now, things have wrapped up at Speedway 660. The McLaughlin Roofing 250 is in the history books, and it was Ryan Messer winning that race. Youngster, he came through the Bandoleros. He's running for a championship this year, and look at this. He just won the biggest race of his career, and he did it. We're going to get Ryan on this program just after the top of the hour. I know Brad Mann is going to gear us up. He is also at the Speedway. And we're going to do that at the top of the hour. But we are going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date. They got a quick news package. It's going to take like 90 seconds, and then we're going to be into hour number two here tonight. I've got some clips that we're going to hear. If you watched the Xfinity race yesterday, you know that Ross Chastain and Kevin Harvick had some contact. It was Brad Keselowski going to victory lane. But these two guys, they got it together. And old Kevin Harvick, he had some some real tough words for Ross Chastain. Of course, Ross got a real good ride. And, man, tells you what kind of race car driver Ross Chastain is, right? When he gets a good ride, you can see some results. And Ross definitely had a good day going. It didn't end well. Didn't end the way he wanted it to. But we do have some clips that we're going to play in hour number two that I think you'll really enjoy. We'll also hear from Brad Keselowski that won the race. So we still got lots coming at you. But trust me when I say I'm going to need your help tonight. You got to call in. We've got so much happening. But you know what? I can't tell you exactly who's coming up and when. So you're going to hear me burning a lot of time in between those winners and guests. Of course, Junior not here tonight. He's still out at Eastbound International Speedway. Had a great day with DJ Kennington. They pick up a win and a second place. We heard from DJ earlier. But those guys are out there. So here I am. I'm in the studio. It's just you and I and whoever's tuned in. And I can well imagine we got lots tuned in here tonight. But we're going to throw up back to Toronto here. And then we'll come back for hour number two. And we got a whole pile of stuff, including the winner from Speedway 660. That Pit Row TV, man, did they do a good job. I got lots to talk about with respect to that. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, I'm going to try and break it down for you and tell you what I seen this weekend. And I was tuned in all last night. Watched all the preliminary races right through the 150. And then today, pretty well tuned in all day. Tim Terry and Wade, the two of them, did a fantastic job taking us through the whole day. But anyway, I'm going to throw it back to Toronto, and we'll be back for hour two. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Ha ha ha!
with the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour two begins. Not two Joes tonight. No. You only get one for you. You only get the one Joe tonight, but I can tell you right now, we're going to get a live update from what's going on at the Canadian Short Track Nationals at UCASA. Tracy is going to give us a call at some point here over the next hour, and we'll clear the track when Tracy calls, and we'll get you an update from Canada's, and let's not just say Canada's, North America's highest paid race, late model race, short track race in history. And it sounds like that's going to grow even bigger. A lot of future plans coming down the line and announced today at the Speedway in front of, I believe, 45 or so drivers. Could be more than that. But 40 of them are going to take and have taken the green flag at UCASA Motor Speedway. Truly great news for Canadian race fans, for race fans, no matter where you are. It sounds like, our old Cayuga Speedway, now redone as UCASA Motor Speedway, is definitely making waves, and it's good news for absolutely all of us. Can't wait to see how things all turn out with that. And as mentioned, if you want to watch that race, you can probably still do it at speed51.com. And you can click on that and watch what's left of the 200 tonight from UCASA. You'll see some history being made. Don't know who's in the lead. Don't know anything. Being on the air, we haven't got any info on it whatsoever, but we plan on getting you as much info as possible over the next hour. But as mentioned, I got a few clips. We're going to start spinning some of them until Brad Mann gives us a call. We're going to have Ryan Messer, that won the McLaughlin Roofing 250, just finished at Speedway 660 in New Brunswick. We're going to have Ryan on this program, and we're going to try and get Brad Mann to hang around for a little bit too on the hotline and get us get him to take us through what it was like being there this weekend. Looked like a great turnout. Lots of race fans, lots of race cars, and just a ton of action all weekend long at Speedway 660. And if I've gone on about these two events, it's because they're two huge ones. Out in BC, I've also got to remind you, the Canadian 200 is going to go live in just a wee bit. They're out in BC, and it's a huge race at Western Speedway. We were going to try and get the winner on from that race as well, but they're on the West Coast, three-hour time change, and those guys will definitely either just be taking the green flag or getting ready to take the green flag in what will be a huge race out on the West Coast. So we got so much going on, and just a good time to be a race fan. Let's listen back now to some of the comments in the media center. If you watched the Xfinity race yesterday, you know that Ross Chastain and Kevin Harvick had a little bit of trouble. Here is what Ross Chastain had to say about that trouble that they experienced. Here he is.
Man, I'm just, I'm going to try not to be too negative on myself. I get that rap a lot. So it's like this opportunity, man, is like once in a lifetime. And everybody at Chip Ganassi Racing and Jeff and Paulette Karpoff at DC Solar for opening this door for me. It has been incredible the last 2 weeks to get up to speed with CGR and try to use all the pieces to their puzzle to go fast in their race car. And struggling through second practice yesterday, but then coming out today with my crew just basically telling me, just go drive, just quit trying to think about everything every lap. And we did that day. I just drove the race car and took what it would give me. We were too free there that final run. We were up front, and those guys closed back up. And, they kept rolling the bottom. But as long as I ran the high side, I could keep clearing them. And he did have, a better one and two there. And I haven't seen the tape. I saw a clip of it just a second ago, but not the whole deal. So, I mean, there's a lap car. There's a lot going on, and I am trying to learn, right? So I'd never been in that situation, but I trust the guys I'm racing around to give me a car width. That's all I asked for, is exactly fender to fender, left and right. And, we just ran out of room there.
You know, I followed Ross Chastain at New Smyrna Speedway back through Speed Weeks. Been going down there for 21 years. And, you know, watching Ross grow up and really watching him in his race car, the guy has, he always gives you 110% when he's behind the wheel. And, you know, as you go on these stepping stones and you go up through your career, you always dream to get these opportunities to drive a, you know, real good car for a big team. And this weekend, Ross Chastain finally got the opportunity to go out and show that he is, he's worthy of that opportunity. And here's a clip of Ross talking about getting the opportunity and what it was like.
I don't think I did enough to get this opportunity. And I'm down on myself a lot, but I mean, I've said it time and time again, like, nobody deserves this. There's less people get this opportunity that I did for these couple of races. And to have a car like we had this weekend, like, more people win the lottery than get this opportunity. So it's, you know, we're kind of in a bubble with all of us where we see guys in fast cars all the time. But to have somebody like myself, just some watermelon farmer from Florida that started racing when he was 13 because my dad just wanted to go have fun, and literally sitting on 2x4s in my race seat so I could see over the dash and just having fun with it. And then all the cards falling and everything to get to this point and to be running my first Southern 500 tomorrow with Premium Motorsports and have 4 years, you know, of time in the four car with Johnny Davis and Gary Keller is, man, if it all ended today and I had to go back to the farm, I would have no regrets about anything that we've done. There's a lot of things I could have done better in my life, like getting to this point, but we've gotten here somehow, and you know, just thankful, man. It's crazy. Like, yeah, there's negativity around this, but I just really hope that people smile. Like, there was somebody different up there racing with those guys. Just smile about that, if nothing else.
Good positive attitude for Ross. You know, he is hard on himself, but you know, the guy is worth his weight in gold. He is one of those guys that that you really got to watch in the car, and it'll be interesting to see what Ross does from here. He's earned the opportunity, he should, and it'll be interesting, you can guarantee that. We're going to hear from the winner of Speedway 660 here. It was the McLaughlin Roofing 250, and we're going to go to the hotline right now, and we're going to bring in, how about the guy that won the race? We have Ryan Messer with us. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Okay, just a second, Joe. I'll pass you to Ryan.
Okay, that was Brad, man, and we're going to get him back. Hey, Ryan, what's going on? Congratulations on the big win, bud.
Thank you very much.
Incredible. Take us back through that one. 250 laps. I watched as much as I could, and, man, what an eventful race.
Oh, yeah, that was a crazy race. I did not expect to win that on about lap 70 when we had to pit for take our four tires way early because we had a right front go down. And I just started to try and save, and then I seen some of the big names like Cassius Clark and them. They all started having problems, avoided a couple big wrecks. And so then I knew that I had a chance again. So then I tried to save a bit, and then I got racing with Brent Roy, and unfortunately I think he blew up. But me and him were having a really good battle. And then I battled at the end with Steve Halpin, and it was just a crazy night.
Yeah, the 03, he was right there with you. I know you guys had another caution with, 11 to go. What were the thoughts inside your helmet at that point?
Sorry, can you just make that a little bit louder if you can, please?
Yeah, I sure can hear. What I'll do is I'll send this up to you just a little bit hotter. Maybe, is that any better for you, bud? Yeah, The race, you guys had a caution with 11 to go. What were the thoughts with that caution in the wind, man? You're leading the biggest race. What were your thoughts with 11 to go?
Oh, there, I got you that time. I wasn't really sure what to think. I was thinking just how would the car react? Like, what should I do just under caution? I kind of started to learn if I kept scrubbing the tires and that would keep things up to temperature, and that's when the car really seemed to be the best for me. And I figured out a few different things with my line, and I all just kind of put it together and managed to hold off to the end. It's pretty crazy.
Amazing run for you, Ryan. I heard your interview, or at least a little bit of it, in Victory Lane. You just graduated from high school, didn't you?
Yep, and I'm going to college up in Woodstock on Tuesday.
Incredible. Been a whirlwind season for you. I heard you're running for a championship. Where are you doing that, right at 660?
Yep, we were running for the weekly Pro Stock Championship here at Speedway 660 and ended up just losing out on a tiebreaker with Dave Oblina. So it was close all year long. To cap it off with a 250 win is pretty amazing.
I'll tell you what, Oblina's would trade you any time, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I don't think I want to give this up.
I guess not. You came through the Bandolero ranks. How important was that experience that you gained as a youngster for today's race?
Yeah, I really learned, like, my car control and just to not be scared to drive a race car through the Bandos, and then I slowly just worked my way up to the ranks, and this is definitely the highlight of my career so far.
How about home? Where is home for you? Whereabouts do you come from?
I live out in Harvey Station, New Brunswick, so that's about 45, 50 minutes outside of Fredericton. So it's a great little town, and glad to represent them well.
Well, you put them on the map tonight, Ryan. Congratulations on the win. That's spectacular. As mentioned, I watched the race today, and, man, you had a really good car.
Thank you very much.
Awesome stuff. Give those sponsors a hit because I know they mean a ton.
Yeah, I definitely want to thank all my sponsors, Dana's Collision Center, AL Gullison Disaster Cleanup, MC Hammer, Northeast Distributors, The Cabin Restaurant, Stu's Trucking, J. Parker Roofing, the Cashflow Racing, Auto Choice Parts Paint, Watson's Home Building Center, Thunder and Lightning Motorsports, Speedy Auto Services, Moffitt's Convenience Plus, and Excel Manufacturing. They're all a huge help to my team. I also want to thank my mom and dad for everything they do for me and all my grandparents and all my family. And Tristan and Dave for helping all year long. And I'm sure they know who they are, but everybody that helped make this night possible.
Well, I'll tell you what, you did them all proud tonight at Speedway 660. Congratulations. Do me a favor. Tell Brad Mann I'm going to get an update from Jukasa next, and then I'm going to get him back on the hotline in about 10 minutes. Can you do that for me?
I can do that.
You want to believe it. You have a good time tonight. Party it up. You deserve it, my man.
Thank you very much.
You want to believe it. That's Ryan Messer. He is the guy that goes to Victory Lane at Speedway 660. How huge is that for that young driver? But let's get an update now. We got Tracy Hoskins on the hotline at Jukasa. What's going on, Trace? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Fantastic. Can't thank you enough for doing this. How are things at Jukasa?
No problem. To be honest, things are incredible. We're under a red flag right now. I believe we're about 70-ish laps through the Pro Late Model race. There's just some oil on the track that they're just kind of cleaning up right now, but the racing is unreal. Unreal weekend so far.
Oh, you'll be right in your glory. You just absolutely travel. Johnny Van Doren was right up there. How is he doing in the race?
Not so great. About five laps to go, he pulled off the track, and he's behind the wall now. So I'm not really sure what broke, but he's behind the wall, so it looks to be that he's out for this race.
Ah, no good. You hate to hear that.
Yeah.
long tow for him. You've been there all weekend, Tracy, have you?
Yep, I've been here since Friday.
Gotta love it. Kim Mitchell played Friday night. Did you get to his show?
I did. Excellent. I mean, and the crowd of people that was here, the fans that came, you know, there was racers that were here. There was people that just came for the concert. It was a great entertainment show.
You gotta love it when a plan comes together, and it sounds like Alex put together a real super show this weekend. Let's talk about the APC race. I know you would have witnessed that as well. How exciting was that?
Oh, it was great. And I mean, you know, there was that one big wreck with Ryan Kimball and Junior Farley and Chenoweth, and those cars are probably going to need to be rebuilt, if not replaced. Unfortunately, I had a big crash on the front straightaway, and it just didn't fare out too well. But other than that, I mean, the racing was great. That was the only really wreck in the race. And Brandon Watson put on a great show. JR Right at the end there, caution, five laps to go. Brandon and JR switched out positions numerous of times, and Brandon got him right at the end after leading most of the race. But it was great racing. You know, everybody raced with respect. You know, all the cars came home basically in one piece, and a lot of those guys are racing in today.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? You got to race with respect at Jucasa. That racetrack is incredibly fast.
Very fast.
A lot of the guys in the field wouldn't be used to going as fast as they went or are going tonight at Jucasa. Who's got your eye, Trace? 40 cars take the green flag. Who's got your eye?
Well, right now, so far, Brandon Watson has led most of the race, but Rafael Lessard is right there with him. He's not in a KBM car for this race. Him and the 14 of Carson are racing for KBR development, but Rafael is right there. Bubba Pollard's making his way up there. Patrick LaPearl, I believe, is in third right now. But, you know, hometown J.R. Fitzpatrick, he's top five right now. Bubba Pollard's up there. But, I mean, 200 laps. So we'll see who gets it in the end.
Yeah, a lot can change, right? We're like 70 laps into the race. It sounds like a real barn burner. Are they getting stretched out? You seeing lots of side-by-side?
Yes, lots of side-by-side. You know, the leaders kind of have taken off, and they've been kind of here, there, and they've just kind of run with the show there, but probably from fifth on back, there's been a lot of changes in positions there. Billy Schwarzenberg, you know, he won the last chance qualifier, and I believe he's all the way up to 18th now. Taylor Holdaway, he was in that last chance qualifier, and he started 38th, and he's now up to, I believe, 19th. So those two are making their way through the field after having to be in that last chance qualifier. So it's a great show so far. Very good racing.
Sounds like a nail biter, and it's going to be to the end. Fans, you can tune in. Get to speed51.com, and you can catch the end of this race. Sounds like things are just getting heated up, Tracy.
Yes, it's great. And I mean, the Thunder Car race that they put on before this, you know, when we see Thunder Car racing in Ontario, you know, we attribute to those big races to kind of, they wreck a lot. But I mean, this Thunder Car race was excellent. There was no crashes. All these cars went home in one piece for the most part. And Andrew Tamrath, he dominated the entire race. I believe he lapped, past 20th position, and he put on his own clinic. So kudos to him and congratulations to him. And Chris Lawrence, he finished second with Gadry Adrianson. He finished third, but the Thunder Cars, wow, I have never seen Thunder Car racing like that in Ontario before. It was clean, it was respectful, it was fast, and it was unreal.
Yeah.
It was on a great show.
And how about it for Mike Schmidt, London Recreational, seeing an 89C in victory lane. He needed that big time, man. They've had rough luck.
Yeah. They seem to either wreck or they do really well or they win. But they put on a great show in that Thunder Car race, and it was good to see. It was good to see the Thunder Cars be able to race like that.
So, Tracy, give us your prediction. Who's going to win this 200? Sounds like things are firing up.
Things are firing up. It's hard to say. I mean, Bubba Pollard, he's the fan favorite. He wins all the time down in the States, and he's just coming off the Oxford 250 win. And, you know, he struggled today in practice, and he struggled a little bit in qualifying, and he wasn't happy. And I was down there talking to him, and he just wasn't where he wanted it to be, and it wasn't as fast as, you know, he may have be used to having the car, but he's up there in the top five, and he's going to be a contender at the end. You know, those guys from the States are used to racing these big, long races, these endurance races, these 200-plus lap races. Where our guys from up here, we don't have those long races. So my guess is either Rafael Lessard or Bubba Pollard is going to take this win.
Tracy, can't thank you enough for the live update from Jucasa Motor Speedway. You enjoy yourself. Anything else earth-shattering happens, please call us back and give us. We'll make room for you.
Okay, perfect. Sounds great, guys.
Absolutely. And that's Tracy Hoskins. She is live at Jucasa Motor Speedway for the Canadian Short Track Nationals. Sounds like a barn burner there. And the cool part, how about this? And Tracy referred to it. You know, the U.S. guys are doing a great job. They're used to doing long races like that on big tracks. And so you got to give the advantage to those kind of guys. But how about, we get more of these races. You got to know that the Canadian guys are going to come into this real, real nice. We got a great future, and it's so exciting. Just unbelievable. We're going to hit a quick break, and then I'm going to try and get Brad Mann back on the hotline. We'll talk some more Speedway 660 out on the other end of the country, and we'll get Brad's take on what took place at Speedway 660. We'll do that next here tonight on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Walters, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Join us live from Riverside International Speedway, Saturday, September the 8th at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Lucas Oil 150. The stars of the parts for trucks, Maritime Pro Stock Tour, take to the high banks at Riverside International Speedway.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
But you got to be there at the end.
It's live, flight-to-flight coverage worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com at 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, September 8th. For Lucas Oil 150 tickets and details, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm-weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
Sirius XM has a commercial-free music channel for when you are ready to proudly fly your freak flag.
We're getting loud and crazy. Crazy on Ozzy's Boneyard.
It's hard and heavy classic rock officially sanctioned by the Prince of Darkness himself, Ozzy Osbourne.
I can't believe I got my own channel, man.
Get your AC/DC, Priest, Zeppelin, Iron Maiden, and Van Halen. Oh, and of course, Ozzy.
Ozzy's Boneyard. Sirius XM 38.
Also available online and on the Sirius XM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up, left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, new race leader off two!
It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Hope you're enjoying the show. Man, there's so much going on. Let's get back to the hotline. I want to bring in Brad Mann. He is situated at Speedway 660. And, of course, we all know him from our live broadcast. It's a seven-time champion. Hey, Brad, what's going on?
Well, it's been an awesome night, Joe. Lots of action here at Speedway 660. Unfortunate incident early took out a lot of the top cars. A little bit of confusion coming out of pit road. 54 car Johnny Clark had pitted several times. They were coming back to green, and at 660, as you're coming back to green, pit road, you come on there. Little confusion whether the guy gave him this go-ahead sign to come back on the track. Johnny Clark come flying out right into the middle of the field and took out the top four or five cars.
Yeah, tough, tough deal. I seen it. I seen the replay, actually, on Pit Road TV. What an awesome job Pit Road TV has done all weekend long. Didn't matter whether there was bandoleros on the racetrack or pro stocks. Man, they did a phenomenal job covering this weekend's races. That was incredible.
They did, and it was good racing all weekend. Last night we saw the legend cars come down to the last lap, and the third-place car end up making the pass and winning. So it was great action. There was good crowds here, Joe, all weekend. Saturday night, Dave Oblinas had the field covered. The race was really for second place. Courtney Oblinas did a great job in the other Oblinas race car. And it was exciting from second on back, but Dave had them covered in the Sportsman Field for that race.
Oh, incredible. Man, that whole family, can they ever wheel a race car? Brad, I know you've been telling me for years, this particular race, this McLaughlin Roofing 250, it's been the True Value 250. It's had different names over the years, but this event is a cornerstone in the Maritimes. You've been saying it for years. I got to go see this. And you know what? I agree with you wholeheartedly. After watching what I watched this weekend from Speedway 660, I got a brand new respect for that out there.
Well, it's a very fast racetrack and very unforgiving racetrack here. And once you get set up, it's you know, like Cassius Clark always has a good car here. But you got these young kids coming up, Joe, like young Messer, Ashton Tucker in the two car had an awesome race car. He was right there. He was running third at the time he got taken out. Gosby in the 91 with his new race car was awesome. He was running second at the time when he got taken out. Oblinas was sitting there in fourth. So, I mean, you took out two, three, and fourth place cars on this unfortunate accident. But the action's fast, and you really get a good rush watching the speeds here.
I wouldn't doubt it. You know, and Johnny Clark, what a crafty veteran in a race car. You got to know that Johnny Clark never seen the field. You know, that's a flat-out accident when something like that happens.
Yeah, it was, and Johnny Clark had a rough day. He was in three or four cautions before that, Joe. I think it's pretty well a brand-new race car he had. We were surprised to see him show up. But you got to remember that these guys, Johnny Clark, does not race on these Hoosier tires, Joe. They're used to racing on the Goodyear tires or the softer tire compound down in the States. So it's a big adjustment when they get here and they run on the Hoosier tire. Speedway 660 uses the same Hoosier tires what we use on the Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Oh, really? Yeah, so yep. It would be totally different for them, right? A totally different feel.
Well, in Johnny Clark's words, he calls them hockey pucks. That's how hard they are.
Pretty incredible, but they last 250 laps, though, right?
Well, it was an eight-tire race, so the neat thing here, Joe, is that we never do a mandatory caution. You decide when you want to pit to take gas and tires, so that's your call. So there's a lot of different strategies. Some guys pit it early, some guys pit it later, so about 4 or 5 years ago, Lonnie Somerville pit it with 20 laps to go because there was only four cars in the lead lap, took his tires on, drove around the front, and went to an easy win. So a lot of strategy here because you don't have that mandatory pit stop.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see that. I was waiting for the halfway break, thinking it was coming up, and then I sort of heard Tim Terry allude to it. No halfway break in this one. These guys choose when they pit. And I thought, wow, I wonder if anybody, Brad, could go the 250 without pitting.
Well, we had decided, Joe, back, I can't remember the exact year, but we were running here full-time, and we had figured out that we could go 250 with 45 laps of caution. So that was the plan that we were on, and we got caught up in the wreck early. But that's the year Scott Frazier won the race, and he went 250 laps without pitting.
Oh, man, incredible to say the least. He wouldn't have had anything but fumes left in that car.
Well, at that time, like, we were running a 22-gallon fuel cell, so a lot of the cars today are running 12-gallon and 15-gallon fuel cells. So as we saw at the Cat 250 in Halifax, we saw the 13 car run out of gas on lap 123. So they were running a smaller fuel cell, and a lot of times the teams will opt to run a smaller fuel cell because it's high up and it's bad weight, so they'd sooner go with less fuel on the back and then put a couple chunks of lead down lower where they prefer to have the weight in the race car.
If you're just tuned in to Race Time Radio, welcome aboard. I have Brad Mann, a seven-time champion out in the Maritimes. He's also our broadcaster for our live races, and you'll hear him next weekend. Well, you won't hear him next weekend from Riverside, but you will hear him from the Dartmouth Dodge 200. But Brad is on the hotline. He was at Speedway 660 all weekend long. It was their big McLaughlin Roofing 250, and there was a 150 last night for the Sportsman guys. It's been a busy, busy, traditional weekend at Speedway 660, and Brad was there for the whole deal. You were actually in Tech Lane helping the guys out, weren't you, Brad?
Well, I work tech on Saturday. Tech, the pro stock sportsman. I always work with Donnie on tech on Saturday since I stopped racing here. And then today we were out to Matt Harris's shop after he got his car tore up. The first car tore up. So we went out and took the shocks off the car. He got tore up, put on his backup car. He was able to bring it back and start the backup car. But as you saw on the TV, he didn't have very good luck and got caught up in another wreck. So Matt's a good friend of mine and spent lots of time racing against these guys. And it's a lot of these guys, Joe, I met while I was racing. So the tech job's a little different. I'm getting used to it. I've done it now 2 or 3 years at the 660. So it's a little interesting concept to be in the tech shed for the day. But tonight I was sitting in the stands enjoying and watching the race I did last night.
You got to love it when you get a chance to sit back and watch. And now you can do that, right? Back when you were racing, I'll bet you never watched a race.
No, I didn't watch too much. You're so busy. Like, I mean, the pits opened here this morning at 8 o'clock. So, I mean, these guys were wrenching on the cars since 8 o'clock. We went to qualifying at 2 o'clock. So then they come back in off of qualifying. They all had to roll through tech. There was a couple cars that get DQ'd for left side weight after the heat race, so they had to start back at the back of the feature. But then you're doing some final adjustments, and you roll out. They roll you out about 6 o'clock, 6:30 on the start line, and then all the introductions, and you don't go race until 7:30. And here we are, midnight. So, you're almost 12-16 hours. So it's a long day.
Yeah, absolutely. A real long day. Now, we've seen the big melee. The 91 of Gosby tore up. Ashton Tucker in the two car. That machine looked like it was tore up pretty good. The 29, Greg Faye, that guy came right back through. So, obviously, his car wasn't too bad. But from the TV pictures, from what we've seen on Pit Road TV, the 91 and the 2 looked real bad. Are they real bad? Will we see Gosby maybe in the next race, or do you think that car's killed?
I didn't get to look close at the 91 car. I would be real concerned about the front clip on it, the way he got hit. I just did finish talking to Brad Siliker's dad as I came down in the pit. It was pretty well right side bolt on parts. They don't think the frame got hurt on the 2 car. So until you get them home, Joe, it's really hard to say, because they were worried maybe the 2 car might have got bent with the right side rail going up. But until you get it home and get it in a race shop and take some measuring points, you really don't know until you get it back in your race shop. But the 91 car, real heartbreaker. That's a brand new car. Unveiled at Petty's last week, the International. Had bad luck at Petty's. That car quit on him, just shut off on him in the middle of the 200 at Petty's last week. So, they searched around and found a faulty distributor and had it fixed. And he had a real good piece here, so only the second time out with that Van Duren car. So that's a heartbreaker when you got a brand new race car and you got that kind of luck.
Oh, man. And how much have we seen of that this year? We think back to the beginning of the Pro Stock Tour this year. We get a guy like Kent Vincent from PEI roll out with a brand new Crooks car. And it was actually at Petty, I guess. And what was it, lap, what, 10? Something like that, and he tore up a brand-new car. We've seen it more than once.
I was at the opener at Petty's, and Kent's a good friend of mine, and actually it was lap 1 when they went green in the feature, and he got tore up right in front of where I was sitting in the pit and tore all the right side parts off. And I was glad to see him make the show in Chicasa today, but I just got a text from Trevor. They broke a control arm and ended up in the wall on lap 16 of the race, so they didn't fare very well there also.
Ah, tough, tough deal. I got to ask you, of course, Cassius Clark was in the lead of this race at the beginning, was looking pretty good. He made it through the big melee, and then incidental contact with the 23 car of Lonnie Somerville. What took place there? I know we seen it on TV. Kind of looked like Lonnie virtually pushed up the racetrack. And I guess at Speedway 660, that backstretch isn't really a straightaway. You're still turning all the way down the back.
Yeah, you are. And if you get off the edge over there, you're into the beach and you do some pretty sufficient damage on the front end. But there's more to the story than that. Cassius got into the 23 car down Oxford, took him out, so there was bad blood from coming from Oxford last week, and as you watched it on TV, and actually somebody sitting next to me come across the scanner, or apparently was said right across the scanner, well, that's payback for Oxford, so I think there was a little score settling there, Joe.
Ah, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We don't see it often, but when it rears its head, look out, right?
Yeah, no, it's... It always gets interesting here at Speedway 660 because it's an unforgiving racetrack, and there's not a lot of room for error. So, I mean, you know, if you don't kind of give the guy a little extra room, that backstretch is not a real good place to be parked.
No, no, not at all. You did a lot of winning at that racetrack back in your day. Speedway 660 was one that you used to probably look forward to.
Yeah, it was, Joe. We won three championships here. We lost one by 1 point and lost two other ones by getting black flagged once each year. So we probably should have had six championships when we were here. But we liked the place. We got used to it. But I know when I went to the tour, the guys always hated coming here because it's a real hard track to get your car set up for. But once you get set up, it's a fun place to be. But it's a tough racetrack for people to come in and get a setup that only sees it once a year. Like you said, it doesn't look like much of a straightaway. We got 13 degrees banking in one corner and 11 in the other, but it probably got about a 250-foot straightaway. Other than that, you're just turning all night long.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And how about young Ryan Messer? That guy, the experience that he has gained, look at him for the future. He's going to be one of those guys to mess with later down the road. He wins this big race. That's got to give those guys a real confidence booster.
Well, it is, Joe, and I mean, the kid went through a heartbreaker last week. He was tied for Dave Oblinas with the points for their year's championship, and he lost it because Dave Oblinas had four feature wins and he had two, so that was a pretty tough, hard pill to swallow, but like he said tonight, I had a chance to talk to him off air, and he's only a kid. He's 17 years old, and the other thing is, Joe, that's not a new race car. That's probably a 10-year-old race car, so that's not as good equipment as what he was running against, and he's been the best, gets the best out of what he's got to run with. So,
well, he's turned a lot of heads, I can guarantee that tonight. What an incredible weekend at 660. Brad, I know I look forward to getting back together with you. And we'll do that, I guess, at the Dartmouth Dodge 200. It'll be the next time you and I will be together.
Yeah, we'll be in Halifax to work the show with you on that. We're going to miss Attiganish this week as much as I'd like to be there. Got a retirement party on going back home. Actually, it was one of my first sponsors, Joe, McNair's Garage, little garage home, and he's retiring, his wife's retiring, so it's pretty hard not to go do that, and we've actually taken our Pennzoil car, that pedal car that we had for displays when we had the Pennzoil sponsorship, and he doesn't know it yet, but we took it down to my letter and guy and got Pennzoil off the quarter panel and put McNair's Garage on, and he's got a burn sort of style garage with all kinds of racing stuff. So we're going to present that and give that to him to keep.
Man, it's going to be a special gift. I can guarantee that, Brad. You're always thinking, my man, always thinking.
You got to be thinking to keep going, buddy, or you get passed by.
Absolutely. Brad, man, we got to thank you for all your time tonight. Thanks for gearing us up with Ryan right on spot like that. Just tremendous stuff, my friend. You do a dynamite job.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Enjoy working with you guys, and we can't wait to see you in Halifax.
Absolutely. That is Brad Mann, and he is at Speedway 660. Always does a dynamite job, and you got to listen to him in the broadcast. He brings so much to Jerry, Josh, and Tim and I, and he's full of information. The guy's been there. He's done that. Kind of cool to have him on the broadcast, and he did another super job this weekend at Speedway 660, helping him out. You can't take that guy, put him at a racetrack, and him not be involved in some way, shape, or form. He's a big man and does a dynamite job. We're going to hit our final break. We still got Brad Keselowski to hear from, and I know we've got some callers, too, that are going to be buzzing in, and we're going to listen to those callers. We'll have them first, and if we got time, we'll play some Brad. But we're going to hit this break. So we will be back in just a couple of moments. Stay with us live tonight on Racetime Radio.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best with Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
They don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Rebellion became the foundation of the first generation of classic rock.
We must be in heaven, man!
On Classic Vinyl, Channel 26.
On Channel 25,
Classic Rewind
brings you the second generation.
Let the good times roll.
Classic rock.
From the vinyl
to cassette era.
Hear it.
Commercial free.
On SiriusXM.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. K&K Insurance, ensuring the world's fun. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Join us live from Riverside International Speedway, Saturday, September the 8th at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Lucas Oil 150. The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour take to the high banks at Riverside International Speedway.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
But you got to be there at the end.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide, only on racetimeradio.com at 5 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, September 8th. For Lucas Oil 150 tickets and details, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
More Short Track
Live,
Coast to Coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
On Sirius 167.
Canada Talks.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Baseball. Pitch
of the 2018 season on Sirius XM.
Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the Sirius XM app.
Plus, expert analysis
24/7
on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on Sirius XM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the Sirius XM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Sirius XM. So glad you could tune in. What a weekend. I hope you're enjoying the Labor Day weekend here in Canada and in the U.S. Did hear from a caller that did buzz in when we had Brad Mann on. And I guess our 888 toll-free hotline isn't working in the United States. How about that? There's a new one. I can't believe it's not working down there, but... You know what? The caller called in and said, yeah, that thing ain't working. So if you want to give us a call, I'll give you that 888 number. I'll also give you our other direct line that you can give us a call on. It's 888-572-2384. Again, 888-572-2384. Or you can give us a call at 519-371-7588. That number again, 519-371-7588. If it's not working on the 888 line, you can give us a call on the other one and we'll get you on the program. We still got like 15 minutes left in tonight's program, and it's been quite a weekend. Doesn't matter where you are. Got to put a congratulations out to Dylan Westbrook. He goes to victory lane at the Big O, of course, Oswego. Friday night, it was a huge night there. The Canadian Sprint Car Nationals will be coming up at the Big O as well. You don't want to miss that weekend on dirt. That isn't an amazing show. You want to see that. So don't forget to put that on your calendar. Of course, we've got the Lucas Oil 150 coming up, the Parts for Trucks tour next weekend, live from Riverside. And the weekend after that, we're heading back to Scotia Speed World, and it is the season finale where we're going to crown the champion in the Parts for Trucks tour. And we're going to do that at Scotia Speed World in the Dartmouth Dodge 200. But let's get back to the hotline. We do have a caller up there, and let's welcome in Larry. What's going on, Larry? How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. How's yourself?
Not too bad at all. Busy weekend. Have you enjoyed everything?
Yeah. I know this is a crazy question, but who won the beer pong last night out there?
The beer pong whereabouts?
Out at Cayuga.
Out at Cayuga. I haven't got a clue, bud. I don't know who won the beer pong, but I can imagine it was a good time.
Yeah. You mentioned something about announcements.
Yeah. Some huge announcements earlier today at UCASA.
What are they? I haven't heard anything. I'm down in Atlanta.
Ah, down in Atlanta. Well, I'll tell you, Larry, don't quote me on the numbers here, but I did hear the final number that's going to happen in 2021. The track announced today future plans for the Canadian Short Track Nationals at UCASA Speedway, and they're going to elevate the purse each year between now and then. They've looked at a five-year plan, I guess, and it looks like it's going to be $300,000 next year in total prize money. Then it's going to move to $500,000 the next year. And in 2021, they are going to be putting $1 million out in total prize money for the Canadian Short Track Nationals at UCASA. That's the forecast, and that's what was announced today. That's huge.
Okay.
Huge.
Thanks,
news.
Jeff.
Yeah, huge news, huge news. What else have you been doing this weekend? You've been catching up on all your NASCAR stuff, or what have you been driving down the road? What's happening?
Yeah, I've been driving down. I had to do a drop in North Carolina today. I'm over in Atlanta for tomorrow, and I've been listening to the races on the radio.
Good.
And I've been listening to you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Sure hope you enjoyed the show. We've had a busy time up here in Canada. I can guarantee you that.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Take care. I'll talk to you towards the end of the week.
You want to believe it? That is Larry. Thanks for your call, Larry. Sure do appreciate
okay.
it. You bet. Rolling in the big wheel on his way through Atlanta. Sounds like Larry is having a great weekend. We got to find out who won that beer pong. Didn't hear anything about that on the weekend, but we'll definitely have to find out. You know, that was a tremendous weekend at UCASA. Kim Mitchell kicks it all off on Friday night with a concert. You could go just for the concert, but it was sort of tied in. If you had race tickets, I believe you got in to see Kim Mitchell as part of your race ticket package. Looked like the campgrounds were full at UCASA. We'll get a better picture of it as time develops here, but I can tell you for all accounts and from what we heard from Tracy Hoskins, it's been overwhelming. And the race is on the racetrack. I might add, Matt Weaver's got a post here. It is a little bit old now, a couple minutes anyway. And it sounds like Brandon Watson has company at the front of the field. Raphael has got past him for the lead. And by the sounds of it, I want to say that Bubba Pollard has also worked his way to the front of the field. So 90 laps in the books. And things are developing in that 200. It's going to be interesting. I'll tell you what, we won't have the winner by the end of this show, but I can tell you we're going to hear lots about it. And we made some history here tonight in Canada and got to hand it to UCASA, Alex Nagy, and that whole pile, the whole group of everyone for, you know, taking the bull by the horns and putting up some unreal prize money and starting something that hopefully continues for a long, long time. It's going to build motorsports, build oval track racing here in Canada. And I might add, this isn't the last race for UCASA this year. Don't forget, the NASCAR Pindy Series is still going back to UCASA one more time to cap everything off in 2018. So still more to come at Jukasa. If you miss this weekend, don't forget, you can still get to see our Canadian National Series on that big, beautiful speedway. You got to do that and check it out. But listen, I mentioned that we've got a clip with Brad Keselowski. He won the Xfinity race yesterday. Let's hear what he had to say. You know, there was that little bit of contact between Ross Chastain and Kevin Harvick. Here's what Brad had to say about all of that developing in front of him.
Yeah, just got through there is the right way of putting it. But we had a good little battle going there for the lead between the three of us. And, you know, you hated to race that hard, but the race was on the line and we were in the last stage. And everybody was going for it, and I went for it. And like Kevin went for it, and Ross was going for it. And it just, you know, all came together there. You could see it kind of coming, but it was a tough battle. And I'm glad we came out on top. Sometimes you don't come out on top, right? So it makes you appreciate the times you do. And, they got together. It looked like a little bit off of two. I couldn't exactly tell what happened. There was a lap car in the whole thing there. And so I saw them, you know, just make a little contact. And I was trying to make a run to pass both of them. And next thing I knew, I was underneath them. And then it looked like Kevin was spinning. And I was trying to get away from him. And I don't know how much I missed him by, but it couldn't have been much. So glad to make it through that. That was certainly a key moment to the race, and we were able to survive and move on and bring it on home from there.
Pretty amazing. The throwback weekend. What else can we say? Some of the paint schemes, everything that has gone into this Labor Day weekend, whether it's NASCAR's upper level, Xfinity, plus everything else that's been going on. The only thing missing, you know, is a truck race. We should have had the truck somewhere, somehow. They've got a little bit of a layoff here. And you know what? When they get back on track, they're going to go full tilt to the end. But there is a little bit of a hole in the schedule after CTMP. And you never know. Maybe they can get that fixed up for next year. And it puts more pressure on those truck teams, which I guess that's what they were trying to alleviate. But nevertheless, we love watching our trucks up here in Canada. Halfway break at Jukasa, 100 laps in the books. This is from, I believe, 5 minutes ago. Matt Weaver again. Good job, Matt. Raphael Lazard is in the top spot. Second spot right now, Bubba Pollard in third. Brandon Watson back in fourth. You've got Brian Campbell in fifth. How about this guy? Jason Hathaway in the three car. That guy was the man to beat at Jukasa. I wouldn't doubt in those final 100, he is going to head to the front of the field. Carson in the 14 is sixth. Shea Gimel is in seventh right now. Look at Trayden Lapcevich. If you've never met or seen Trayden Lapcevich, hit his Twitter, hit his Facebook. You will be amazed at this youngster. He can drive the wheels off absolutely anything he gets in. He is the future star. He's currently sitting eighth at Jukasa. In ninth spot, J.R. Fitzpatrick. And rounding out the top 10, Patrick Lapero is 10th right now at Jukasa in the halfway break. That's going to be a wild finish. I can guarantee you everybody will be saving their equipment for the end. Well, at least the smart guys will be saving whatever they can to the end. And you know there's going to be a lot of tough competitors, and you're going to have a fast car in order to win at Jukasa. It's a 5/8 mile speedway. Everything is redone, all new asphalt, you name it. You got to see this place. And you want to talk about rocket fast? That place is, bar none, the fastest oval track in Canada. You got to have a look at it and get to a race. If you possibly can, get to a race there. If not, make sure you somehow or another check it out. A lot of great racing, and this one here is going to make some history here in Canada tonight. The Canadian Short Track Nationals. You'll have to keep an eye on Twitter or, like mentioned before, get to speed51.com and you can, you know, finish watching the last 100 laps on speed51.com. Looking through Twitter through one of the breaks there, looks like they had a little bit of trouble with the frequency and the focus went out for a few laps, but the guys got it back under control. You got to remember, everything is new, right? So trips and tribulations, all kinds of stuff will be taking place, and they'll get it all ironed out, and things will be better the next time around. But we're getting real close to the top of the hour. I want to just let you know what we've got coming up on Racetime Radio. Now, next Sunday night, normal spot, we're probably going to be listening to the Lucas Oil 150 rear that takes place on Saturday night. It's going to be a huge race at Riverside International Speedway. Sportsman Cars also on the ticket that night, and it is the season finale at Riverside. So if you're anywhere around the Nova Scotia area, make it to Riverside next weekend. You won't believe the show you're going to see in that Lucas Oil 150, and it will be a barn burner on Saturday. So if you can't be there, make sure you tune in to racetimeradio.com. We will have live flag-to-flag coverage, pre-race to post-race. You're going to get it all on Racetime Radio. All you got to do is get to racetimeradio.com and click on our live stream, and you'll be able to listen on any of your electronic devices and sit back and enjoy the race from Riverside. We'll also have live coverage of the Dartmouth Dodge 200. That comes up in 2 weeks' time from Scotia Speed World, and that will mark the season finale. We'll crown the champion that night at Scotia Speed World, and it's going to be off the hook. I know it's going to be. We've seen some incredible races in that season finale over the last 8 years we've been covering it. It's going to be another dandy. You can bet your boots. What else we got coming up? Canadian Sprint Car Nationals this weekend. I told you about that. Big shows at all the racetracks. Autumn Colors Classic, Peterborough Speedway will be coming up. Apple Fest at Brighton Speedway. Humberstone's got a big season finale. I believe that'll be the season's final event in the province of Ontario. Probably in all of Canada, Humberstone will probably be the last one to finish everything off. But check with your local racetrack, have a look at their schedule, find out when those end season championships are, and some of the big special events like that Autumn Colors Classic at Peterborough Speedway. If you've never seen that, oh, you got to make it to Peterborough and check it out. You know, Petty's got a big one at the end of the season in New Brunswick. There's big ones, big races right across the country. And then, of course, all of our attention focuses in on what takes place in NASCAR and south of the border. There's some huge events down there that a lot of our Canadian guys will load up and head south when things wrap up here in Canada. But we're getting real close to the top of the hour. This has been a lot of fun tonight. Flying solo. Don't like it. But can't wait for Junior to be back in the studio. And then I won't ramble quite as much, but that is going to stick a fork in us tonight. Sure hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, you can download the show on iTunes, subscribe, and you'll have it. But that does it for us tonight. Got to thank Sue here in the Racetime Radio studio and everybody back in Toronto for gearing us up. Have a good, safe week, everybody. Enjoy the rest of Labor Day, and we'll catch you next week on Racetime Radio. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.